Maurice Collin always said he was born with an interest in data, his birthday being November 12, 1913, or 11-12-13. This interest in data followed Maurice through medical school, through recruitment to become a member of the medical practice that would eventually become Kaiser Permanente, and through his and his peers' conviction that computers could support the clinical process. Maurice Collin lived to see hard data confirm the success of the revolution he and his colleagues helped to begin. When he and his team were feeding thousands of punch cards with patient data into those early IBM computers, literally 0% of physicians nationwide utilized electronic health records in the management of their practice. By 2013, just shy of Maurice's 100th birthday, 78% of physicians utilized electronic health records in their practice. At the heart of any data set lies a mystery. What patterns in the data lurk not yet noticed? Will all of this data yield us any insights about our patients, about ourselves? How can we turn data into actionable, clinical, and operational intelligence? Welcome to Steps to Value, a podcast that explores the intersection of people, processes, and technology in healthcare as the industry moves towards a value-focused model. In today's episode, we will explore the impact clinical and business intelligence has on the delivery of care with Kyle Johnson, System Vice President and CIO at Eastern Maine Healthcare. Kyle also shared with us her experiences at the HIMSS Annual Conference and how it has supported her professional life. All that and more coming up.
HIMSS17 is the meeting place for all things health IT. Experience over 300 education programs, more than 1,200 vendors, hundreds of special programs, and limitless networking opportunities. Collaborate with HIMSS and thousands of colleagues worldwide as you work to positively transform health and lives through IT. Register today at HIMSSconference.org. I'm here with Kyle Johnson, System Vice President and CIO at Eastern Maine Healthcare. Kyle, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, Rad.
In the post-EMR world of healthcare, how would you describe the industry's use of clinical and business intelligence technology, and where are you seeing the innovation, and where are the laggards?
So that's a really good question, Rad. Overall, I would describe healthcare's utilization as novice in the clinical and business intelligence space compared to other industries, banking, manufacturing, other technologies, way ahead in the use of analytics, retail organizations where healthcare is at. So where are the innovators? I think there are large systems like Kaiser Permanente who have been down this path for many years, Novant Health Systems, another, to name a few. But they're, the innovators, I think, are few in this space. And while, yes, the industry's, lagging, I think, in general, the whole industry's just in really early stages for the most part.
And could that just largely be attributed to the fact that the industry has only recently gotten the technology in place in order to start to collect the kind of data they can analyze?
Well, I think that's certainly true on the clinical side, because the EMRs have really just gone in place over the last 10 years. But, in terms of, business like revenue cycle and financial administrative data, those data have been around for a long time. But I think even in that regard, I think healthcare has not been as, deeply steeped in analytics, and it is really, playing catch up. I say this from the standpoint of, I've been in the BI and analytics space in my career for probably nearly 20 years now, and I worked in business intelligence and analytics at a time when, you know, the organization and the operations really didn't know what to do with the data and was trying to peddle data and peddle scorecards. The uptake wasn't fast. In fact, it was the rare leader, you know, and senior leader in the organization that found some utility in using the data, and then if they sponsored it, then that seemed to take off. But, you know, the industry's in a different place today, and I think there's much more demand, but, you know, I've kind of seen, you know, sort of all stages of evolution in healthcare.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You mentioned more demand. It could some of that be driven by things like MACRA and MIPS and meaningful use? And what do you think that effect will be on the use of CNBI?
Yeah, so clearly that has been a driving factor, you know, as well as really, you know, the ACA in general and, you know, the push for population health and accountable care, and, you know, that really gets down to, on the population health side, that you really understand your cost and utilization, your per member per month rates, and that you know where your costs are, and the only way, you know, to do that is really have a good handle on your data, and it's multiple sources, so, you know, it's the typical EMR data, your revenue and billing cycle data, but now we're introducing external sources of data, such as paid claims data from, you know, our payer partners and even, you know, social media, social determinant data, other sources of data that we might not readily have as part of a health system.
In your experience, what do you think is the most important thing for someone in the C-suite to understand when you're talking about and implementing CNBI?
Yeah, so I think it's get started. I don't think there's any, you know, right or wrong place to start. The data journey is not an easy one, and, you know, actually less of it has to do, you know, with the technology, and a lot more of it has to do with actually the data itself, understanding the data, understanding operational processes and uses for the data, because that's really the only way to validate it and make sure that you have accuracy around, you know, what you're trying to manage. So there's a whole lot of people, process, culture involved with data management, and it's not too early for every organization to get started on that front. It's a whole new culture shift and paradigm for healthcare organizations.
So if you were talking to clinicians, would you augment that in any way? Would the message be different?
It really isn't. It's clinical data versus financial data, but at the end of the day, you know, it's really understanding how data is used in the workflow. It's understanding at the end of the day when you've taken data from an EMR and you think you're looking at, you know, allergies or height, weight information, that all of a sudden if you see, you know, strange values, that, you know, you understand enough about how that was collected in the EMR and how that's being used, and then how it translates into a report or a scorecard or an analytic, you know, that you're using, you know, to change the business. So I like to say begin with the end in mind. You know, when you're implementing transaction systems, when you're implementing all these sources of truth that are going to end up being, you know, part of your analytics down the road. And because that's so important that it gets set up right the first time, and there are deep end user and subject matter experts around the data, so that, you know, the analytics and the reporting can be meaningful in the end.
Can you give me an example maybe of some experience you've had where data was turned into some tangible knowledge or wisdom that really changed the attitude towards this type of activity? A big win?
And I've got lots of them, but So I think just, you know, so some of the first reports and analyses that we've done on the population health side in producing, you know, understanding where your costs are occurring, your high utilization tests and procedures like high dollar radiology and other procedures, producing, you know, data and information that allows an organization to understand where those tests are occurring, which providers are ordering those tests to allow behavior change to occur. So if we want, you know, fewer of those tests, or we want better sharing of information so other providers downstream that might see the same patient don't repeat tests, you know, how do we impact the behaviors that we want to impact through the use of analytics? And it's very powerful. In fact, I think it's the key to changing the healthcare industry. I think we can't do it without a strong, you know, data analytics sense, because it's really the data that's going to drive and power the change.
Well, I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit here, if that's okay, Kyle.
Sure.
So you live in the world of data, and you are trying to analyze and extract information that's usable. We have a conference coming up. It's huge, but it's all tangible hardware that you see. How do you, coming from your point of view, in your role as a VP and a CIO living in the world of data, how do you approach something that's that tangible, but keeping in mind what it means for you from the standpoint of data? How do you, what do you get out of the conference, and how do you approach it?
That's a really good question. And I think, you know, for me, I have to do, you know, my homework before I come to the conference. So there are many, many, you know, vendors, many, many solutions, all which, you know, tout and claim, you know, to be able to do the same things. And I think understanding the problem you're trying to solve, so understanding your use cases and what you want to use the tool for, you have to have thorough understanding. It's really, you know, the requirements, and IT folks are really, really good at being very process-oriented around all of this. But, you know, then once you have that understanding, it generally will narrow the field of, you know, available vendors, if you will, that can really fit, you know, those business needs and use case requirements. And then where the conference helps is that, you know, they're all there. All the major vendors are there. And then you have a chance to meet one-on-one, you know, with them. Most of them will schedule time, you know, to do demos and really spend a great deal of, you know, personal time. And what's nice is you can go from, you know, vendor to vendor, product to product, to kind of compare all in one fell swoop. So it's an exhausting week, but time well served when you're really trying to, you know, look at a number of solutions that you've done some homework on ahead of time, all in one fell swoop. And that won't be the be-all, end-all, but it will certainly give you a good flavor and perhaps help you even narrow the field more when you start to bring vendors on site to, you know, interview and meet with other users of the capability.
How has your experience over the years changed relative to the conference from the first time you attended to how you approach it now?
Okay, well, I remember this very well. And so my first conference, I actually had some very specific things to look at, and we were looking at, you know, potentially a new database management tool, you know, for our warehouse, but also metadata management, data dictionary, ETL, extract, transform, load tools, all to support the data warehousing and analytics space. So, and I was working with a consulting partner at the time, so I met with a consulting partner, and we had, you know, kind of decided on a list of, you know, vendor partners that we were going to, you know, visit and make appointments with and the like. So it was, I probably saw far more than I, you know, would have on my own, and that was a huge learning experience, you know, for me too, because it's hard to take it all in, and it's, I find for me it's better to, you know, really try to focus in on those things that are most important. So that would be my advice to anybody. But, you know, it really is an experience. It's huge. It's, you know, there's over 40,000, you know, people at this conference. But it's a great networking opportunity as well, not only with vendors, but colleagues as well. So it's an annual meeting that I won't miss. And there's great speakers as well. On very pertinent topics and content. So a place you can almost do it all as a healthcare CIO.
Well, we on this podcast, we talk about technology and people, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. So I have one final question for you, and we ask everybody this, right? What's your favorite technological invention, and what do you think its impact has been on our culture?
Well, and this is going to sound big and unwieldy, but I think it's really the, you know, the internet. And then if I have to, you know, hone down into a specific technology, I'd say, you know, the smartphone and really how that has brought efficiency and automation to our lives. I can't imagine living without that. You know, I do, you know, all my business on a smartphone. I bank, I schedule appointments, I am and chat with folks to find out about things, you know, rather than calling or having to, you know, take the time to go visit or go shopping or, you know, whatever the case may be. I think that for me, that's been incredibly significant, you know, in my life. I'm a person that's always looked for, you know, how can I be more efficient with what I'm doing? How do I get more time out of the day, and you know, the capabilities that the internet has enabled, and then I think the coupled with the smartphone, you know, technology on top of that has really been a game changer for me, as I suspect it is for many people.
Kyle Johnson is System Vice President and CIO at Eastern Maine Healthcare. Kyle, thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
Thanks, Rod.
So is your organization on the cutting edge or behind the curve when it comes to the use of clinical and business analytics? Send us your thoughts as a voice memo or an email, and we'll play them on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest today, Kyle Johnson, System Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Eastern Maine Healthcare, for sharing her perspective on the healthcare industry's use of clinical and business intelligence. Steps to Value is a production of HIMSS North America. Steps to Value is co-produced by Rod Pahowski. I'm Adam Baser, and see you next time on Steps to Value.